Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer and continue in our study of the most important subject dealing with spiritual love as far as a believer is concerned and as far as an unbeliever is concerned when it comes from God. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself, see if you're trusting in the Holy Spirit who is a true teacher. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. And we're so thankful for the privilege that we have to study it, not under harassment, pressure, suffering, adversity in our society from the government, but from the freedom of our own souls to open the Word of God and to allow your Spirit to reveal to us what's going on in the Word of God for past, present, and future. And Heavenly Father, we pray now that we're dealing with a subject that deals with the past, the present, and the future, spiritual love, loving as Christ loved, a new love that had not been on earth before our Savior came. And Father, we pray now your Spirit will open our eyes to the truth of our own love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, macrothumia, and love. It says love is patient. Should be love is macrothumia. Love is long suffering. The first part of the word comes from the ideal of long or duration. And then thumos, the soul. And it means a long soul or a long time. That your soul remains in stable condition. You do not lose your filling of the Spirit. Regardless of what others will do, you don't lose your temper. You don't lose your peace in your soul. You don't lose these things, and you're able to maintain a fellowship with the Holy Spirit and a love for everyone else. The Greek word is just dynamic for the Christian life. It's not really a Greek word in the sense that it was not in classical Greek at all, and very rarely in later Greek. It's primarily a Christian term, and so we need to have some understanding about it, and not just of Paul. It's in a couple of times in the Gospels and various places, and as we study the Word, we're going to discover that it describes a Christian virtue that had never been on earth before. There's been love, but not the love of Christ, not loving as He loved, and we're to be long-suffering. And this was not a virtue in philosophical Greek thinking. Therefore, it wasn't in classical Greek. Aristotle, Socrates, Plato would not have considered this a virtue. A strong person doesn't put up with anything. They just demand everything be done their way. And so it is not a virtue in the philosophical way of thinking. The Greek noun, as we've noted before, comes from makros, meaning long or duration, thumos, meaning the heart or the mind, and therefore it comes to mean that you can suffer a long time without losing that love. Now, if you go to any one of the 100 translations in Bibles, there are so many different ways of understanding this word. Long-suffering, forbearance, self-restraint before proceeding to action is one way of looking at it. The quality of a person who is able to avenge himself but restrains from doing so. That's what we have with the idea. I like that idea. The quality of a person who is able, in position, to get everything his way, but avenge himself. But he restrains from doing so if this quality, if this virtue, if this fruit of the Spirit is there. The word refers to being spiritually calm, especially when people say or act or do something in a way that aggravates you, upsets you, does you wrong. The point here is that instead of losing one's faith or stop living by faith in the Holy Spirit, giving in to the control of the flesh, this believer is able to maintain his or her fellowship with a third member of the Godhead. It means enduring patiently in the face of wrong done. That's why later on we'll see love does not consider when wronged. That comes from the long suffering of it. Instead of anger, instead of revenge, instead of lashing out with the tongue or the fist, the believer is long suffering. This withstands it and without any anger or revenge in his soul. Bearing with those who oppose us. This is how powerful this word is, this work of the Spirit in us. Remaining in the power of the Holy Spirit. The ability to suffer without complaining. This idea, well, you ought to be glad I don't hit you. That's not long-suffering. That's not long-suffering. You know what you're living by there? You're living by law. It used to be called virtue love. Virtue love is not long-suffering. Virtue love is living by the law. Virtue love defined, well, I don't hit you because I love you. No, I don't hit you because it's against the law. That's why I don't hit you. And I'd get in trouble if I did. So this is something so powerful. And it really isn't well understood by preachers or people. And I like the way John Keller words in his work on Colossians. It is exercising patience toward fellow believers who annoy us, who rub us in the wrong way. And that's just on a day-out basis, day in and day out. It could be your husband, your wife, your children, in-laws, outlaws, people at church, people at work, wherever it is. People are going to rub you the wrong way. It just happens. That's all there is to it. They're going to drive the wrong way in front of you or behind you. They're going to upset you by the way they do or don't do things. Long-suffering, you're able just to fly right through with no real problems in so doing. So, let's go on now from where we left off last week. And what I'm going to do this morning is take these up where we were last week, start this morning with new points so that we're able to carry through some thoughts. First, we need to always remember and that this word is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Galatians 5.22. Galatians 5.22. My daughter, upon being told that I bring this to church, she did some fancy work on it. Says, how great thou art. So I can keep that in mind while I'm clearing my throat. Okay, Galatians 5.22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, in contrast to the fruit of the flesh, it's amazing how many people who are rather sound thinking in theology claim that by confession of the flesh, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. When Scripture is very clear that nothing in the flesh is good before God. I've talked to so many. In fact, just in this year, we've lost two people in this church. Because they did not agree spirituality by grace through faith. It had to be by works of the flesh. And they cannot answer the question. How can anything good come from the flesh? And that's not the point, they say. They're told to confess, and that's it. And it's just amazing how these things work. And yet they claim that if you confess in the flesh your sins, that God restores you to the Holy Spirit. I don't see how they can do that. How can I do anything in the flesh to receive something from God? It cannot be done. These same Christians will claim that the flesh is dead before God, and they do. But when I take them to this side of the cross, they don't really have an answer. And I'm waiting for one of them to give me a sound biblical answer of how the sinful dead flesh can do anything that will cause God to bless us. We learned that in our gospel. By faith. That's all the dead flesh can do, by faith. So, they have no biblical explanation as to why the sinful flesh can do something to cause God to restore the believer, to save us, if you please, from the power of sin. So, it is always by grace through faith, if you're going to get any blessing from God. God acts to restore us, save us, deliver us from the power of sin, back into the filling of the Spirit. Therefore, ready to receive spiritual love. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. The noun of our verb, emphasizing 1 Corinthians 13, and all 16 of the impacts of spiritual love are verbs. This is what spiritual love will do. Now, point two. What does long-suffering of spiritual love look like? How will it be seen if you have long-suffering? Let's turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14. We urge you, brethren, fellow believers, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. This is our verb, makrothumia. Be long-suffering with everyone. That is, be long-suffering with who? With the unruly. Be long-suffering with the faint-hearted. Be long-suffering with the weak. That's what it means. Says, be long-suffering with everyone. The unruly, the faint-hearted, and the weak. Now, this is free. You didn't pay for this one. I'm going to share some wonders of the Greek language with you. Now, remember how the word long-suffering is made up of compound word. Well, long in duration, so. See that word faint-hearted? Just to show you how rich the Greek is, that's also a compound word. It's made up of makros, M-A-K-R-O-S, denotes duration, plus thumos, T-H-U-M-O-S, which is a descriptive word to move impetuously, particularly as the air or wind, at a violent motion or passion of the mind, anger, wrath, indignation, long suffering. Now, our word, faint-hearted, compound word, made up of argos, O-I-L-G-O-S. You know what argos means? Small, little, plus the word suke, which means soul or mind. Little mind, faint-hearted, fearful, worried. Now, some people seem to be this way by nature. It's a wise parent who will note this in their children, if this is there, not criticize them, not tell them to, suck in the gut, put your chin up and fight it. Help them, encourage them, train them, see, to come out of having a fearful, worried nature, faint-hearted. But I just want to show you how beautiful this word is. So the word is a word meaning small or little heart. No real courage there. Faint-hearted. See? Now, when a believer is in fellowship, we are encouraged. We are to encourage the faint-hearted. Those believers who fall apart when bad news hits. The assembly, society, politics, whatever. If things don't work out Tuesday, I guarantee you there are going to be some Christians falling apart. Going to be showing faint-heartedness. They're not going to be able to handle it. Okay, let's go on now to point three. How important is makrothumia, long-suffering, to our Christian life? We just saw how it looks, how important it is to our Christian life. Let's look at James 5. James 5, verse 7. Therefore, be patient. That's our word, makrothumia, be long-suffering. Brethren, believers. Believers are the only one it can be, long-suffering, by the way, and only those believers who are filled with the Holy Spirit. Now look what it says. Until the coming of the Lord, the farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil, being patient about it until it gets the early and late rains. You too be long-suffering. Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. Now, when I say that we're near the rapture, if I'm off a couple of hundred years, that's nothing compared to James. He's already off 2,000 years when he said near. But the point is, people, no matter your age, keep on putting on Christ as per the study in Colossians 3. Don't grow weary or tired or discouraged. He is coming again. It's very important. Very important. There are Christians who, well, why even study all of that? We're not going to be here, with nothing to do about it, all of that. Yes, people, it governs the way we're going to live. Give an example. A young man, a young woman, anticipates getting married. What do? They control their bodies, they control their souls, and they enter this marriage virgins. They enter this marriage ready for a wonderful life with another person. So, it's not there then. They're only 12 years old, 13 years old. But they're going to live knowing that this is, in all practicality, this is going to happen. That's why we live the way we do. He's coming one day. It may be today. It may be tomorrow. But he is coming. Don't lose patience. Be long-suffering in your Christian life, because he is going to come again. Don't grow weary or tired or discouraged. It is certain that, one, you will leave the earth, either by the rapture or by death, but it's going to happen. You die, or one day, Christ will stand up, the trumpet will sound, he will shout, and we'll go up to meet him in the air. It'll be something like, here, now, and we'll all go up immediately when he says that. And the dead in Christ will rise, we will go up with him. It's a wonderful way to live, anticipating, knowing, one day I will be with him. But we are to continue in spiritual love, growing in the Word of God, in the knowledge of Christ, in the knowledge of God, witnessing for him in our lives, because he is going to come. So long-suffering is important to how we live our life. Point four, very important. Long-suffering of the love of Jesus Christ. The love of Jesus Christ. Let's start off with 2 Peter chapter 3. Let's open the Word of God to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you will. Verse 9. 2 Peter 3, 9. The Lord, Jesus Christ, is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but is long-suffering toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Now, there's so much here. We've got to move on, but there's so much here. Let me just tell you a couple of things. First of all, let's start with Jesus Christ. He could call the ticket in for the rapture right now, but he's long-suffering. There are those who will believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. And he's waiting for them. And therefore, he is long-suffering toward them. Secondly, this is one reason we're long-suffering. To everyone. We're long-suffering, hopefully drawing them to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Drawing them to our Savior by the long-suffering of our love. Why is long-suffering part of spiritual love? Look at 1 Timothy. We're looking at why long-suffering is a spiritual love. 1 Timothy 1, verse 16. Yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me, as the foremost of sinners, Paul is saying, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect long-suffering as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. So Jesus Christ demonstrates long-suffering to draw people to Him as Savior. That's what we're to do. If you want to study the opposite of long-suffering, it's not good to use an example that betrays your point. But I'm going to give you an example. And that example is Jonah. Jonah went to Nineveh, and he told them, y'all are all going to hell, and I'm happy. And they said, no, we're not going to hell, because we're going to believe in your Messiah. And it made him upset. It upset him. What I'm trying to say is, we're long-suffering to draw people. He did not have long-suffering, and it drew people. John Hinch used to sell encyclopedias and Bibles. He said some of his best sales, he'd go up and knock on the door, and some guy would go, hey, all right. And he said, nothing. I'm selling Bibles and I know you don't want one. Well, just a minute. How do you know I don't want one? And he ended up selling him the biggest Bible he had. See? So, it's just, you want to be long-suffering, though. It draws people the kindness of long-suffering to the gospel. That's Jesus Christ. Point five, long-suffering and God the Father. Long-suffering and God Himself. Let's look at Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and long-suffering, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? Here we have the long-suffering of God. The ideal here, people, He could call in the chips. It'd all be over. Get the rapture of the church. 3.5 years of tribulation, and in the last 3.5 years, let them have it. And then at the end, Jesus Christ comes back, Armageddon's over, and going to the wonderful millennium. But he doesn't do that. He waits because of the long suffering of his soul. Let's look at Romans 9. Romans 9, verse 22. I love this. Pay attention to what you're getting ready to read. Romans 9, 22. What if God, although willing to demonstrate His wrath and to make His power known, which He will do, endured with much long-suffering vessels of wrath prepared for destruction. People, He's got those that are going to bring destruction on the scene. If you just look at the world today and the way nations are lining up, the alignment of nations in Europe, in the Middle East, all over. You can just see, things are getting in line for what God is going to be doing. But here it says, He's long-suffering. He's holding back on them. Holding back. They're there. They're being made. They're being prepared. And when He's had enough, enough. And the rapture and then all of the dilemma of the tribulation begins. Also in reference to God the Father, let's look at 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20. Who once were disobedient when the long-suffering of God kept waiting in the days of Noah during the construction of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through the water. Now, what this is saying is, He could have just wiped everything out right then. It's over. I've had enough of you. You know, the women gave in to the angels. The demons came in, and people are sinning, and it's just rampant. I'm through. But He didn't. The long-suffering allowed Noah to build the ark. I got an email years ago, and it said, the dilemma if Noah had to build the ark today, and all the government agencies he'd have to work with to try to get permission to build this ark. And he'd never get it built today. And there's probably some truth to it. But he built the ark because God was long-suffering. Okay, that brings us to point six. In 1 Corinthians 13, Paul describes spiritual love as being long-suffering. Then in 2 Corinthians, he describes one of the great benefits of the long-suffering of spiritual love. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to look at one of the great benefits of the long-suffering of spiritual love. We just saw it with Jesus Christ and God the Father. It allows people time to believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. But let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. in purity, in knowledge, in long suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, all of these in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, that spiritual love. And this spiritual love is long suffering for the sake of the gospel. See? Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 now. Let me turn with you. 2 Corinthians 6. Let's see what's going on in this whole passage. Let's begin reading in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. How would you receive it in vain? Not use it. It's there, but if you don't apply it, you see, he gave it in vain. Then verse 2. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. People, everywhere you go, you represent Jesus Christ. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, you represent Jesus Christ. I was a Christian, but I will have to admit, through my junior high and high school days, what really controlled me was I didn't want to dishonor my mother. I loved her. I didn't want to hurt her. So, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. She wouldn't let me have a motorcycle anyway. But I'm not going to do all these things. She wouldn't even let me have a black leather jacket. Can you believe that? She wouldn't let me have a motorcycle nor a black leather jacket. And neither one of them. I wanted at least a leather jacket, but no, couldn't have that. I got one later in life and wore it a couple of times, and that was it. But anyway, people, if you love the Lord, you don't embarrass him. You represent him. Oh, there's one of those Christians. There's one of those people who go to church. Look at the way they're acting. See? It's wherever we go. Wherever we are. Work, social life, traveling, grocery store, whatever. Church, whatever. Okay? Verse 3, giving no offense, no cause for offense, in anything, anything, so that the ministry will not be discredited. But in everything, there's no offense in anything, but in everything, commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in afflictions, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, in turmoils, in labors, in sleeplessness, in hunger, in purity, in knowledge, in long suffering, in kindness, all in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, that is spiritual love. He went through doing all those things. We have Christians that can hardly endure somebody pulling in front of him in the traffic. Here, look at all the things he endured, and we're all in long suffering in the power of the Spirit. Let's continue, though, the sentence. Verse 7. In the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness, for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers, and yet true, as unknown, yet well known, as dying, yet behold, we live, as punished, yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, spiritually, as having nothing, yet possessing all the things we possess in Jesus Christ. Okay? Point seven. I want you to look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 for point 7. Long suffering of spiritual love toward one another. Ephesians 4, let's read the first 3 verses. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, he's a servant of the Lord, prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. Over and over, people, it's very important how you and I live our life in front of other people. With all humility and gentleness, with long suffering, showing tolerance for one another in love, spiritual love. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. So we're to show long suffering to every other believer. Point 8. Long suffering of spiritual love is one of the great virtues of any assembly of believers. This is remarkable, and we've already studied it, but let's read to remind us Colossians 1. Colossians chapter 1. It's been a couple of months since we were in Colossians 1. Don't tell me different. Colossians chapter 1, and let's read verses 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. People, I hope you pray for other assemblies. I get up every morning. This morning I got up at 5:30 and spend time in prayer. I pray for you. I pray for John Hintz and his assembly, Jody Brown and his assembly, Robbie Dean and his assembly, Tikos and his assembly. I pray for assemblies, for the power and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. So, this is very important. Verse 9, for this reason, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom, coming up in our study in the next hour, and understanding. Verse 10, so that. Why? So that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Hear it again. Walking worthy of the Lord. Worthy of your calling. Worthy of who you are in Christ. Worthy of the Lord. To please Him in all respects. Bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all power of the Holy Spirit, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and long-suffering, joyously giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. That's how we live our life. Point 9, long-suffering of spiritual love is one of the coverings of a believer that we're to be covered with. Look at Colossians 3. Very quickly, let's just read verse 12. You do well to read the whole third chapter, but let's read verse 12. So, as those who have been chosen of God, that's 1, 2, holy, 3, beloved, because of our position in Jesus Christ, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and long-suffering. Then they talked about living reckless. Living reckless. Go ahead, live reckless. Take off the old man. Put on the new man. Be different than everybody else. Point 10, just so you'll know, it is necessary that every pastor teacher has the long-suffering of spiritual love. You don't want a pastor that doesn't have this or developing it. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience, great long suffering, and instruction from the Word of God. He's to preach the Word. He's to be ready to preach the Word in season when people are positive, out of season when people are negative and not there. And that will demonstrate the faithfulness of God. Reprove those who need to be reproved. Rebuke those who need to be rebuked. Exhort those who need to be exhorted. All of those in long suffering. And finally, point 11, long suffering of spiritual love is necessary to receive rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11. Hebrews 6, 11. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who, through faith and long suffering, inherit the promises. Okay, I want to cover one more thing before we leave long suffering. Next Sunday morning we'll pick up with the next virtue, impact of spiritual love. Love is kind. But one more thing I want to cover, and that is the opposition to spiritual love. Opposition. Why spiritual love must be long-suffering. This may sound strange, but there is opposition to the love of God. There is opposition to spiritual love, the rejection of it. First of all, Satan. Satan, he was the first to reject and oppose God's love in the garden, in eternity past, and then with believers in the garden, and is the enemy of the love of God, spiritual love. He's the enemy. Satan cannot stand the love of God. You got to understand that. Why? Because he looked at the sinner and he said, God, you can't use these people anymore. You can't use the sinner. Excuse me one moment. You all right, Pat? You okay, hon? You need to work out? Okay. Now, you can't use these believers anymore. They're sinful. They now belong to my kingdom of darkness. And God said, no, I will redeem them. I will reconcile them. I will justify them. And I will do it out of my love. And therefore, out of his love, he loved the world in this way, that he gave his Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Satan looked at that, and he became so frustrated, angry, at the love of God, that that love would take those who belong in his kingdom of darkness, out of his kingdom of darkness, and put them into God's kingdom of light, when they don't deserve it. They're sinners. And he's especially upset at Paul, the chief sinner, religion. Satan cannot stand that. And he can't stand it when you and I live our life and we choose to exemplify spiritual love. He cannot stand it. See? And therefore, Satan is the great opponent to spiritual love. Secondly, the flesh. Your flesh and others' flesh. Every time, listen, you get angry at someone, every time you judge someone, murder with your tongue, every time you do these things, you are rejecting the long-suffering of spiritual love. You're rejecting the love of Christ. You're rejecting the love of the Holy Spirit. I mean, you can color it any way you want. You can deny it any way you want. You can be deceived any way you want. That's what you're doing. Your flesh nature is rejecting being long-suffering in spiritual love. I don't want to be long-suffering. I want to judge them. I want to take this into my own control. I want to malign them. I want to assassinate them. I do not want spiritual love at this time. Spiritual love loves, or flesh love loves the flesh. Remember that. Flesh love loves the flesh. Spiritual love loves Christ and loves as Christ loves. This is why we're going to see how spiritual love is the immune system of our bodies. It is immune against the desires of the flesh. The flesh, what does it say? Work for love. Earn love. You do not deserve love. You have to work harder and harder for love. So the flesh is an enemy to spiritual love. And then, of course, thirdly, the world. The cosmic system, which is designed from Satan, but it appeals to the flesh of man. You have to earn love in the world. See? And you have to work for it. This is what it looks like. And they reject that it's freely given by grace, by God the Holy Spirit. Not really exists. They do not accept the love that we're talking about in the Bible. It doesn't exist. So, that brings us, unfortunately, for the sake of time, to I'm sorry because I don't want to really get involved in it. But next Sunday morning we'll begin with Love is Kind. Now let me just set this up for you. When you have the long-suffering of love. Okay, let me make a silly point. Here's a believer. They just hurt you. You want to hit them or assassinate them with your tongue. You do not do that because of long-suffering. A vacuum is formed. A vacuum. What are you going to do then? If you do not strike out at them, then what? If you do not seek revenge, then what? If you do not go to sins of the tongue, maligning, gossiping, assassinating, then what? If you don't just walk away, I'm out of here, walk away. You don't do that either. What happens? What's going to fill this void now, this vacuum that long-suffering has formed? Long-suffering has formed a vacuum now between you and this other person. What's going to fill the vacuum? Spiritual love, of the kindness of spiritual love. See? What's going to fill the vacuum if God doesn't take everyone out? As we saw in our passages. What's going to take the vacuum? The kindness of His love. And its kindness is going to draw people to the gospel. So, kindness is what is going to take the place because you're spiritual long-suffering. If you're not long-suffering, forget all about kindness. You don't even need to go to point two. If you're stuck on point one, you're not going to get to point two. Love is kind. Because it can exemplify itself, demonstrate itself, have that impact on our life when the long-suffering creates this emptiness, this void that occurs. See? Many would like to stop at long-suffering. Alright, I'm not going to hit you. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to walk away. I'm out of here. But that's not it. That's not long-suffering. All long-suffering does now is set up the grounds for the next impact. Kindness. And that's where we'll begin next Sunday morning in kindness. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Word of God. There is no self-help book on earth that even comes close to what we learn from the Bible about ourselves, about others, about our interrelationship with others, believers and unbelievers. There just isn't anything like it on earth. So, Father, we're so thankful for the Word of God. We're thankful for the ministry of the Holy Spirit who opens up these things to us. We pray now, Father, that your Spirit could take the things we've seen this morning, use these to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.